Grab a chip and a chair. It's time for the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Brought to you by the Best Bet Poker Rooms at Jacksonville and Orange Park. Now, the Best Bet Poker Show pals.
Happy Hump Day!
Hump Day!
Woo-hoo! Yeah!
Hump
yeah.
Day!
Woo-hoo! Yeah!
Welcome to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDeal here with Jesse the Boss, Dustin the Great, and we're hanging out here talking poker for the next hour. We have a great show for you guys tonight. There are so many interesting things going on in the poker world right now that I feel like it's hard to smash it into 1 hour. Like, to pick and choose what we're going to talk about sometimes is a little bit difficult. So, for instance, there's obviously March is we're highlighting women in all aspects of life. And there's a really incredible story that happened with Vanessa Cade. So if you don't know who she is, she won the Poker Stars Sunday Million. It was the 15th anniversary. She's a Canadian poker player. She wins $1.5 million on Saturday, or excuse me, on Sunday in the Sunday Millions, which is pretty remarkable. It's her biggest score that she has ever had.
I'd say so.
Yeah, so, and there's kind of some weird beef between, like where she came from and, like, what happened to her. So, evidently, Dan Blazarian kind of, I think when he signed with GG Poker, she kind of came out and was like, listen, this, like, how is this guy the face of your company, right? Like, there's all these allegations, whatever they may be, sexual or whatnot, towards women. How are you choosing for him to be your spokesperson, right?
I think, I don't know if there's necessarily allegations, but there was the misogyny, I guess.
Whatever right. It was, yeah. Like, what I'm saying, like, whatever sure. That might have been. So during that time, she came out and she said something. And he effectively, I believe his tweet said, it said, quiet, ho, nobody knows who you are.
I saw that.
Right? And he was just like, kind of shut it down. Oh. And like, of course, a bunch of people in the poker community kind of jumped up and they were like, what are you doing? Like, you can't say that, blah, blah. And so, of course, we know how Twitter is and these Twitter feuds, and they come and they go very quickly. And so a little bit of time goes by, and as it dies down, she ends up revealing on social media that GG Poker had discontinued her affiliate account on the site. So what that means, if you don't understand what an affiliate account means, the more people you get to sign up, the more money you get back in, like, rate collection.
Right.
So if you play on GG Poker and you get, like, 70 people to sign up, maybe you get, like, whatever it is, I'm making it up, like 15% in rake back. So every time you play, you're effectively earning money to play.
Right. You get a portion of their rake.
A portion of their rake, yes. Yeah. So they cut off her affiliate account. They were like, whoop, and just shut it down. And so then everybody was like, well, is this because Blazarian's now, like, partnered with GG Poker? Like, was it shady? Were there some shady dealings? What happened, right? So America's Card Room, I think you're right, ACR is the one who ended up signing her as a pro. And this just happened like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah,
they
very
signed
recently.
Her as a pro, like maybe the beginning of March. And they also 2003 WSOP champion Chris Moneymaker is also one of their pros. So yep. You got these. So you have Chris Moneymaker, and now you have Vanessa Cade, who's been signed just like 2 weeks ago. And then she banks the Poker Stars Sunday Million.
The biggest
for
one 1. Ever.
5 right. million. Yeah, it's like the biggest tournament ever. So
that's
I
so
kinda,
sick.
Like, I hope. I kept looking. I was like trolling through Twitter to see if she like retweeted his shut up, quiet, ho, no one knows who you are.
She's like, you're going to learn today.
Yeah. Like, yeah. As it turns out, yeah. People do know who I am.
That's right.
Like, so I thought it was really kind of a fun story and a funny thing that's just kind of happening in the poker world today. But so
yeah,
huge
that is a
shout
one.
Out and congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations.
To her. I did send her a message, so hopefully she'll get back with us and we can chat with her in the next week or so coming up here. But there's also other fun things that are happening in poker or interesting things. One which we will dive into later in the show is there's been a lot of controversy surrounding when to combine tables when you're playing tournament style poker. And I know you guys are in the middle of a huge tournament right now. The spring series is going on. You've had really big numbers. I mean, tremendous fields. I believe like event number one, you had something 756 players.
Something like that. Yeah.
Is that about right?
Seven so, and change. It was a
I
good
mean,
one.
It's massive, right? So there's you guys are doing a great job. People are, you know, there's plenty of distance in your room, lots of space to make sure that people can socially distance and practice safe hygiene, and they're wearing masks and all of these things. But they're still dying to play. And, you know, there's been this, I don't know if it's like a resurrection of poker, so to speak, but it's interesting to see the amount of people who have shown interest in these events that maybe it wasn't generating prior to this. And again, like, is that because people, like, there's online poker is more prevalent now because people have taken to that? Because there was literally no card room or casino to play poker at for so many months. So people said, hey, I'm going to do this, right? So they found ways to play online and continue to be comfortable. And maybe they were introduced or introduced additional people to the game by playing at home. Or maybe it's just the nature of the way that it's working out. But I do see that there is a serious resurrection in the poker community. And the amount of people that are coming out and playing, I think, is really spectacular.
Yeah, very much so. There's a lot of people coming out and playing. And, you know, some of the people haven't come back yet. You know, they're waiting on getting vaccinated or you know, whatever. And that's fine also. But we've gained a lot of other new players. And I think just a lot of people are just tired of being in their house and said, you know what, I'm good. I'm going to play poker.
Yeah.
And maybe it is because, like you say, maybe, you know, the online world – when people were locked down, they learned how to play a little bit, and now they're coming into play.
I mean, I think that, I'll be honest with you, I think that that has something to do with it. It was like the Chris Moneymaker boom, right?
Sure. It's similar to another little boom.
It is.
Sort of a resurrection, I guess, as you said, is more, makes more sense. And, I mean, it's interesting. Everybody wants to come play poker. And everybody's busy. All poker rooms...
Yeah, absolutely.
In the country that are open and operating mostly, not necessarily 100%, but if you're at least, you know, seven or eight handed, they're all busy.
Yeah. And this is, you know, this plays into part of why you see some of these feuds and controversies about rules and different things that happen because, you know, it used to be the case that people would be fighting for poker business. And right now, that doesn't really seem to be the case. Like, you could have something over the top of something else, and it's really not going to affect anybody's business or the way that the operational side is going because there's just people coming from everywhere, which is really great. And I don't mean just like Florida, right? Because that's like the running joke that everybody comes to Florida. But I'm talking poker rooms everywhere in the entire country. So it's really exciting and it's fun. But with that also comes, you know, controversy about different rules. And so we'll dive into some of those as I'm sure lots of our listeners have questions and opinions on that as well. But one tournament that has been postponed is the massive $25,000 buy-in PokerStars No Limit Hold'em Players Championship. So they had their first one in January of 2019. It was the first running event that broke the record for the largest $25,000 poker tournament in history. In history, they had over 1,039 players that participated in a $25,000 buy-in tournament, generating a prize pool of over $26.4 million.
That is, wow. It's just insane. That was in the Bahamas, right?
No, that was in Barcelona. This is the EPT
Barcelona
event. And so this event was held there. Now, a lot of the people satellited, if you will, into the event by playing online. So they won seats.
And that made the field
massive in January of 19. And it's funny because I remember we talked about that, but when I started reading through it, I was like, wow, kind of fell off the radar, right? Because we didn't have 25K buy-in tournaments really in 2020 to speak of. A couple, but nothing like this. Usually you get like, what, maybe 40 or 50 players. So to have over 1,000 players in the field generating such a large field is pretty spectacular. But PokerStars came out and they were like, listen, this isn't going to happen. We're postponing this due to people not being able to travel and so forth and so on. And they want to make it safe. They did say that they are planning to push it out and they are going to have it. So it'll be fun to kind of watch that and see if we can figure out. Everybody's going to be jonesing to travel, especially to travel playing poker. So when they launch this and they talk about, here's how to get in, here's how to play, here's what you can do, we're going to be all over that to make sure, hopefully the three of us will be having the show from Barcelona on a Wednesday night. That'd be great.
That'd be pretty cool.
That would be really fun. But the other thing that was not mentioned is the EPT in Barcelona. They didn't mention whether or not that was going to be canceled or pushed. And if you go to the European Poker Tour, EPT, Barcelona, they don't indicate whether or not any events are happening other than the one that's currently running right now.
They have a tournament running now in Barcelona?
March 18th through the 28th. So, yes, running now.
It's hard to believe. I mean, France is
It's happening in Sochi.
Sochi, Russia.
Russia, excuse me, yep.
Russia?
Russia, yep.
Ukraine,
correct.
Russia, yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I just think it's interesting to see what's going to happen with that. And if they push the EPT in Barcelona back, like, will they incorporate this 25K event again? And will it generate such a huge field, especially now? Like, I think that's going to be really interesting.
I mean, they're definitely going to – they definitely want to run it again. There's no question about that. So they're going to push it back and push it back and push it back until they feel like people are going to be safe and feel safe traveling. And Europe has to be – I mean, Europe is sort of locked down again now. Mm-hmm. In France and Italy, not completely, but not going so well. So
yeah,
I'm sure they're going to wait a little bit, but I bet they're anxious to bring it back.
I am certain that they are. All right, well, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we got lots of things to talk about. There is a poker powerhouse that partnered with the World College Poker to host a global women's poker tournament on PokerStars.net. Now, this is several things that I've never heard about. First of all, I didn't know what Poker Powerhouse Partners was. So we're going to talk about that. Plus, we're going to talk about the World College of Poker.
I've never heard of either one.
Yeah. Like, how come we're not there yet? Shouldn't we be professors or something?
Right?
I feel like they should have definitely reached out to us.
Yeah, I think so. Absolutely. I feel I'm a little upset now.
It's a little I think it's a little ridiculous.
It really is. Yeah. I'm feeling very upset about it. Anyway, so we have that going on. Plus, the 1010XL main event is coming up here on April 7th. So we're just, what is that, about a week? And are we 2 weeks out?
What's that? From what?
From April 7th. Yeah, exactly 2 weeks from today. So the 1010XL event will happen at Best Bet Jacksonville. It will kick off at 6 o'clock p.m. It's $110 to get into that event. There will be 5 bounties. You knock any of them out, you get $110 back on the spot. And we have a ticket to give away to you guys tonight on the show. Stay with us. We'll be right back with more of the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
The Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDill here with Jesse the Boss, Dustin the Great, and RJ helping us out in the studio tonight. You know, as we're coming back here, we're talking about the resurrection of poker, and it's been really busy. You guys have a spring series tournament that's going on that's generating tons and tons of buzz.
Lots of action.
Lots of action. Lots of buzz from
ladies only. Speaking about the ladies only right now, and you can probably still get in just $360.
Nice. So you're gonna head to Best Bet Jacksonville and play a lady. Those are some of the funnest, most fun tournaments.
It's fun. I was just there, and they're having a good time.
Yeah.
Every time I watch those events, I'm like, man, why aren't men's events like? I mean, why aren't normal poker events this much fun?
Right. Yeah. Open events are never that much fun. They're joking around with each other, laughing and
drinking, having fun.
Yeah.
Drinking
Which is
and
what
having
you're
fun.
Supposed to do, right?
That's what poker you're supposed to do. Yeah. So good job.
I feel
ladies.
Like the more you do that, the better off you're going to be.
Well, we got them champagne for the final table, so.
Champagne, chocolate covered strawberries, hopefully.
And chocolate covered strawberries.
Yes,
nice.
I love it. There's all these kinds of interesting things that have been talked about. And one of the hot topics in the poker community right now is discussing when we break down tournaments, what does that actually look like? And this stemmed from a tournament at the Venetian, which was, help me guys, like a couple weeks ago, 3 weeks ago maybe?
Yeah, it was a WPT event, a $5,000 buy-in WPT event at the Venetian a couple weeks ago.
So now they're playing eight-handed in Vegas. And a WPT final table is six. Was it televised? Is it six people for the WPT final table?
I don't know.
It's almost irrelevant. It doesn't matter.
It is irrelevant.
So
I don't know.
So they're playing eight-handed max, or eight players at a table, right? And they get down to two tables with eight players, and there are four players at each table. And they didn't combine the two tables to make it one eight-handed table. They waited until they lost. I thought it was two players because
one,
they played.
One player.
Was it one player?
Yeah.
So they waited till they lost one player and then combined at seven. Obviously, this created like a huge rift for the person who ended up busting in like on the bubble or whatever you want to say in eighth place.
Jared Jaffe,
who gets very upset and disgruntled about the entire situation, saying, why would we be playing shorthanded, four-handed, and four-handed? Why not move it to just one table and combine at eight? And so there's been a lot of conversation about this. And then Matt Savage, who is the tour director for the World Poker Tour. Everybody obviously reaches out to him when these types of things are going on. And he recently posted something on Twitter and took a poll asking players, if you're playing in a six-max tournament, six-max. This is a different situation, but it stemmed from the Venetian tournament. So sure. If you're playing in a six-max tournament and you are down to four players and three players, if you're down to seven players, so you have three on one table and four on the other, do you combine at seven and make a final table, or do you wait until you lose the seventh player and then combine at six? And it's really an interesting question. And I was totally surprised and taken back at what the poll had shown when I voted. And at the time when I voted in that poll, there was probably already like 1,300 people who had responded. I'm going to go back and look and see if I can pull up the poll. But, boss, I'm going to kind of chuck this question to you a little bit because I'm certain you hear about this. You guys have a six-max event during the spring series. I don't know that it's happened yet. I believe it's coming up. But how will you guys handle that? Like, what does that look like, and how do you feel about combining at six-max? Well, and Dustin, I'm curious from you, too.
We do have a six-max event, and that's funny because there's several things that happen. One, the Venetian event wasn't a six-max, but they were going to a six-handed final table. And it was somewhere stated in the rules that they would go to a final table of seven, so they would play four and four and then go to the final table of seven and play down to the official final table of six, which seems a little odd. My feeling is if you're playing eight-handed all the way, just go to the final table at eight-handed.
Of course.
The way the TDA rule, which I don't have in front of me, I could possibly pull it up really quick. The way it was stated was you would go to the final table with one more person than the final table. And that's just so you didn't have to, mostly for six-handed events, so you didn't have to play three and four players.
Uh-huh.
So you go to the final table at seven in a six-max event.
Has this been the standard traditional rule always?
No. Okay. This has been the TDA rule for either the last 3 or 5 years.
Okay.
To be honest, I don't remember when we implemented that one.
Okay.
And it did cause a lot of controversy to Venetian. I think because normally they would be playing nine-handed and they would go to the final table at nine. I don't know why they didn't go to the final table at eight. I don't really remember. I have talked to a few people and I said, well, I would go to the final table at eight in that situation, not play two tables, four and four. However, that was what the rule stated, that they were going to go by those TDA rules. And in the world, so it's really not that big a deal.
Mm-hmm.
The only person that gets upset about it is the person that takes eighth.
Sure. Yeah.
Nobody else. There's only one person in the entire field that's really going to care. Now, maybe that's not true. Maybe there's a short stack that wishes they weren't playing four-handed and somehow makes it in.
I disagree with you in one spot here, and here's where I disagree. Whoever finishes eighth is going to be upset about it. So you have eight players in the tournament, four on one table and four on another. It doesn't matter which player busts out. They're going to be upset about the structure of why they didn't combine those two tables.
Maybe.
So if that's the case, theoretically, 100% of the people agree that 100% of the people that are playing in the tournament, because any one of those eight people would have been upset about it, not just Jared.
But not necessarily. The only person that's going to be upset is somebody who is a short stack and gets knocked out. The guy who has a big stack is not going to be upset about it at all.
It's better for him.
It's better for
him.
If he
goes broke, he's probably not going to be happy about it.
He's not, because if he goes broke, he goes broke. But he's still, as a player with the big stack, they're not going to be upset that they're playing four-handed instead of eight-handed.
Sure. It benefits the bigger stacks. Right. It's definitely worse for the smaller stacks.
I'm just suggesting that if you have somebody who has a large stack and they're playing shorthanded and they take six terrible beats in a row and take like a bad run of cards playing four-handed and they go from being the chip leader to being broke, I promise you 100% I will bet any amount of money that person's going to complain. They really don't have a complaint though.
Is the thing that you know?
Sure, because that could happen in a full.
That can happen
in a full ring game,
no matter what. Yeah,
I mean, yeah, I guess, but I feel like it does. I feel like all eight people that were sitting there would probably complain. It doesn't make any sense not to combine it. But if we go back to this next question,
the six-handed.
If we go back to the six-handed, which is very different. I was really surprised at what people said. So here's what the poll exactly reads. It says, how many players should there be in a six max, no limit hold'em final table? And then your options are six players or seven. Now, roughly 3,000 people voted on this. 3,000 poker players voted on this, and lots of people chimed in with comments, right? What do you think the percentage is split-wise between six-handed and seven-handed? Like, where do you think the margin lies?
I don't know. I looked at this earlier, so I know it's fairly close.
Dustin, what do you think it would be?
I would think it would be large.
Large. What do you
in which way?
In which direction? Yeah.
So I think the majority of people would say wait for six.
Okay.
Really?
6-4-1-10-10 is the
phone. So if you wait for six, you're playing two. You're playing unbalanced tables, though.
I agree.
You're playing three and four.
I understand, but I think the majority of people would say wait for six.
And there's two factors to this. So 641-1010 is the phone number. If you're a tournament player, if you play a best bet, maybe you or maybe you just follow some of this stuff and you have some thoughts and ideas on as to when you should combine those final two tables when you're playing a six max event. Do you combine down to seven? And I think that there are two spots here, or one is from an operational standpoint and one is from a player standpoint. But if you're playing a six max event, can you ever really justify saying there are seven players at the table?
Well, I mean, that's a very good point. That's the arguable point. There's if you're playing six-handed maximum, it's a six max event. Why would you ever play seven?
I agree. It changes the whole strategy of
completely.
The game.
But and we're talking about now you're at the final table. So we are deep in the money. So you are strategically playing a game that is designed to be no more than six players ever. You've never played a single hand in the tournament that has had more than six players, right? And so now you're the deepest part of the money where it matters the most, and you're playing seven-handed. Now, again, I'm not taking a side. I'm just trying to present and say, what do you think, right? So we have Marshall on the line. Let's bring Marshall in and see what he has to say. Hey, Marshall, what's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for the show. Love listening to it.
Thank you. Thank you, Marshall.
I would say you in a six max or whatever, you combine to seven. The only advantage for the shorthanded with the three players is the big stack. So he has a much larger advantage on the overall tournament, the way that the tournament ends with him playing – three-handed with a big stack versus seven-handed with a big stack.
Mm-hmm. Right, and that's true, right? I mean, there's no question about that. And I think also the aspect about one table playing three-handed, one table playing four-handed, which is drastically different than one player table being six and one table being five. And at that stage of the game, you know, how long could it last where you're unbalanced like that. So I actually think in the six-handed version, going to the final table at seven is okay. But,
so, Marshall, let me ask you this question. Are you a six-max player? Like, do you play six-max tournaments on the reg?
Yes, I love six-max tournaments. Okay. It's my favorite tournament.
Me too. And so I think that's pretty traditional where you go from six down to seven, or you combine it, you know, you combine it seven at the final table. And that's pretty standard. So if you didn't play six max tournaments and know that that was kind of a regular thing to do, do you think that you would feel the same way, or would you kind of be like, what's happened? Like in your first tournament, if you remember back to your first six max tournament, did you think it was odd that you're like, I'm playing a six max event and there are seven people at my table right now?
Well, I'm still hoping for that WPT final table, but
come on, Marshall.
Come on, Marshall.
I think Jared Jaffe, although he can be a little bit polarizing, has a great point.
You think?
Well, I think he's respected enough to as many tournaments and victories as he has. Mm-hmm. That I'm glad that I love poker news. You know, I'm glad it's out there, and I agree with him. I think it. You know, I don't. It's just a difficult thing when it's eight-handed, but the six-handed, yes, the seven at the final table. But one day, I'll be there. One day at your room.
You will. And, and right, you know you what, will. Marshall? We're going to be there maybe to pay soon. You and give you your trophy. It's going to be spectacular.
Heck yeah. I wish I was playing tomorrow, but I can't do it.
I was going to say, maybe it's the Six Max that's coming up here, right?
Well, the Six Max is actually tomorrow, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is tomorrow, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Marshall, I'm sad that you won't be in there, but thank you for the call. We appreciate it. You have a good night.
You too.
So, and again, like, right, this is one spot where if you talk about the advantage or disadvantage from playing three-handed at one table and four-handed at another, that's pretty strong. Like, I feel like there's a pretty big disparity. Even though it's one player, it's pretty big, right? But when you're playing eight-handed and you're 4-4, it doesn't make any sense to play until you lose.
It doesn't. I think they just somewhere somebody misread the rules, is my opinion. And, I mean, you're playing 4-4, so it's not like you're unbalanced or anything, so it's not really that big a deal, but they should have just combined at eight.
Yeah.
I will say that. So here's the recommended procedure from the TDA rules. It's not like a hard, fast rule. It's a recommended procedure. It says 9 and 8-handed events will combine from two tables of 5 players each to a 9-handed final table. So 9 and 8-handed events combine final table of 9. So you play 5 and 5, lose one, you're in.
And that's the TDA rule, so that's the way that it should be.
7 and 6-handed events will combine from two tables of 4 players each to a 7-handed final table. So you play 4 and 4.
Lose one, combine. Yeah, and that makes sense. I mean, I can get behind that.
But so since they're 8-handed because of the COVID procedures or whatever, they didn't combine to the final table plus one, kind of what you're saying. Like,
I guess.
They should have combined, according to TDA, they should go from 5 and 5 in an 8-handed event and lose one and go to or 9 players.
Yes.
So they went from 4 and 4.
Sure.
And instead of combining, they can't go to 9
because they have to go to 8, so they went 4 and 4.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
That's what their thought process was, whether right, wrong, or indifferent. Right? Mm-hmm.
I guess they were kind of thinking along the lines of, like, since it's an actual official 6-handed final table, we just go plus one.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And you know, as if you notice that, typically you're not combining when you're even. When both tables are even, you combine when they're odd.
Mm-hmm.
When you're, you know, have an extra person on one of the tables, that's why you combine. Because that's pretty important at that time. As Marshall said, you know, the guy with the big stack playing three-handed.
That's a huge advantage.
Even over the guy at the four-handed table.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, the point is so that
drastically
one table
different.
Doesn't play more hands than the other one, right? Like, that's the point of combining when they're odd to keep the hand count relatively the same versus one hand getting...
I mean, that's a good point. That's a great
point. Especially where we're all playing with the big blind ante rule, right? So you're actually paying more per hand. The three-handed table than you are at the four-handed table.
Yeah, that's like one of the biggest things that people complain about. It's interesting because if there was no big blind ante, do you think this would even be a topic of conversation?
Absolutely.
I think it still would be.
Do you think
it
would be as strongly, you think people would feel so strongly about it, be as passionate about it if everybody was just anteing on their own versus the big blind ante?
Maybe
big blind ante is monstrous in shorthanded games.
Absolutely.
Four and five-handed tables, the big blind ante is monstrous.
Oh, yeah.
You know, after reading this rule, I don't think there's anything wrong with this rule, even though that, you know, I've discussed it with a bunch of guys, and it's been, you know, discussed on TDA or on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Can't figure out which one it is. On Twitter several times. I don't think there's anything wrong with the rule. The question is that now we're playing eight-handed.
You're probably going to have to insert a clause or something.
The clause is, you know, you have the whatever to do what's the best interest in the fairness of the game.
Mm-hmm.
But we're playing eight-handed and we can't go to nine-handed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we can't combine at nine-handed because of the restrictions we're on in COVID. So we combine at 8. Big deal.
Yeah. All right. So here, real quick before we take a break, as I said, I was looking at the final results with 3,000 votes. You ready for this? Your options were, so here's the question. How many players should there be at a 6-max no limit hold'em final table? Should they combine at 6 or should they combine at 7 players? 3,000 people voted. 56% say 6. 44% say 7. That is like effectively like trying to run like ace jack through like pocket tens.
Right.
It's like literally a coin flip. I was really surprised. I thought I thought the variance in that was going to be substantially
larger.
Which
unfortunately means A, probably nobody really cares. And B, no matter what you do, half the people aren't going to be
happy.
It doesn't
matter. Yeah. Right. I thought it was pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. That's a good assessment.
That's
a great
assessment.
It really doesn't matter.
Right. You
it's
go
not
one
like
way or
there's
go the
a, other. A resounding decision like, mm-hmm. okay, that's it. We're doing it at 7.
Yeah, absolutely. So you might find to be the case that some people do it one way here and some people do it another way there, just based on preference and the way that the TDA rule reads. So
I would say the only thing that I thought about that maybe would help is if you were combining at 6. Depending on it kind of matters at how long levels you're playing. You know, if you're mm-hmm. playing hour long levels,
oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
It could take a long time to go to lose one player. If mm-hmm. you're playing 20-minute levels, whatever, don't worry about
faster.
It. Just play to six and to play down to 6. But you could say we're going to go to the final table at the pure number at 6 players, but we will draw a player from the four-handed table every level or every half a level, something like that, and move them back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Randomly move a player back, which is kind of a pain.
But I think you guys can handle it. You guys are super smart and savvy and awesome. So I feel
we can handle it. We did run a tournament once where there were, it's post-COVID. Mm-hmm. It was a $5,000 buy-in, and we only wanted to get 8 players, to be totally honest. And we ended up with 9. So we had to run it on on 2 tables, which was really annoying. And we wanted to live stream it, so we couldn't live stream it until we lost a player. And I didn't want to tell somebody, no, you can't play, because that would be dumb.
Yeah.
I just only expected to get 8 players. So we ran it four-handed and five-handed, but every level we moved the player.
Yeah, that's funny. All right, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we have that 1010XL main event seat to give away. Plus, we're going to talk about the Poker Power partners. That partners with the World College Poker. That's like, I feel like this is a big mouthful. I feel like I need to rearrange all of those words to make it slide off the tongue a little easier. Stay with us. We'll be right back with more of the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
It's the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDill here with Jesse the Boss, Dustin the Great, and RJ helping us out tonight. If you guys are just joining us, we've been talking about some different rules in poker, the way we've kind of adapted the resurrection of poker to speak of. And, March is Women's Month, right? It's all about acknowledging women. And we talked about a huge shout out to Vanessa Cade, who just won the Sunday Millions on PokerStars for $1.5 million, her biggest score ever, and pretty remarkable. So, in that, I happened to be flipping through and I found this interesting article talking about Poker Power, which is a company that is built by women for women that launched in 2020, I believe, right? And Dustin, what did you say? What was your favorite part? It was like the first line said, flip the table.
Yeah,
flip the table.
Right on the website, the very first line when you open the website says, flip the table.
I mean, that's amazing. I kind of hope, is there a video or a picture of somebody flipping the table? Because if they're not, I feel like we should write them and tell them.
They should have
a
little,
a stern email.
Yeah, totally.
A meme. I mean, it's flip the table from men to women, right? So they should have a meme that has a table full of men and somebody flipping it and it just turns over and
perfect.
It's all women.
So to all you ladies out there who are maybe interested in playing poker, want to get your feet wet, I know we had Eve Gay. Not last week, but the week before, she joined us on the show from Stone Fine Jewelry. She started her own business, her own company in October or something of 2020. Same kind of thing. Started a business during the midst of the pandemic.
During the pandemic, yeah.
Has been doing great, and she has a love for poker, and she just really wants to learn how to play. So she's finding time. She's starting to hone the skill, and I think that this is really great. So for people like her, any other women, maybe you're a very well accomplished player, or maybe you're just learning how to play. But Poker Power is set to celebrate Women's History Month by hosting a free-to-play global women's online poker tournament on March 27th. So that's coming up here. So it's online. You don't have to worry about leaving your house. You don't have to worry about COVID situations. You're nice and comfortable at home. You could, I feel like all-encompassed of where you belong. So if this is the first time you've ever played, it's great. And it costs you nothing. So, I love that they're doing this. The women-led company, which teaches women to develop and build their skills through the game of poker, is set to host this event in conjunction with the World College Poker, which is also another place I didn't really know about. So this
myself.
This organization,
either?
The world, I feel like it should say World Poker of World College of Poker. There's like a word missing there, but you basically go and they teach you how to play, how to hone your skill, what you can do. You run drills. I believe Jonathan Little is involved in some poker coaching with that. And he's really just, I mean, I can't say enough about Jonathan Little and how remarkable his products are. They're proven time and time again to just
amazing.
Bring absolute winners. And he has so much content. It's just absolutely out of this world. So ladies, if you want to play, that's definitely what you're going to want to do. So Poker Power is poker and then POWHER, like POWHER. So Poker Power. If you just Google that, you can find all of the information that you want. But I think that, and you have to be 18 or older to play, the top 9 players that make the final table will compete for the title, but they'll also have a number of exciting prizes in line. So there's a vacation package to Cancun. There's also one-on-one lessons with Jonathan Little, which, let me tell you, I'm going to play in this event just because I want those lessons. Like, one-on-one poker coaching with Jonathan Little is, like, priceless.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah.
I mean, it's literally invaluable. There's no way to put a price tag on that. I mean, he's just such an incredible coach. So there's ladies that are playing. There's they have all these great coaches that are happening. And I think that this is just a really wonderful platform and a launch to get women excited and interested in poker. So their whole entire plan was to get 1 million women to play poker by the end of the year. And I thought that was really great. So at their 1-year mark, if they can teach 1 million women how to play,
that's
flipping
epic.
The table means that the number of women that now join the game as opposed to not being there playing is astronomical. I mean,
sure.
It's huge.
Yeah, it's good for them. I hope they reach their goals.
I do too, because I love it when I see more women in the poker room. I think that, like, again, there's a ladies event tonight, and like, how much bright and shinier is the poker room right now? It's like more fun, right? It's more lively. It's
right,
more
it's like
vibrant.
We said, they have more fun.
Yeah, they have more fun. And I think the guys tend to behave a little bit more when there's a lot of women around. So like, if you guys think about it from an operational standpoint, they're kind of babysitting for you, right? You just like get a bunch of moms to come in and play poker and everybody chills out.
That's right.
I think we could take advantage of that. So the World College Poker runs free-to-play online poker tournaments geared towards college students. So that's what this looks like. So the World College Poker is like they try to get young college students and say, hey, you can come here, learn how to play, hone your skill, and hopefully pay your tuition, right? Like, give us money and we'll teach you how to do other things too.
That's the idea.
Yeah, so I don't know. I thought that was a lot of fun. So World College Poker and Poker Power, POWHER. Look up those two things. You can get yourself some free lessons. You do not have to be a college student to participate on World College Poker. That's not a requirement. So you can go in, you can look, you can dig around, and it's a place where you can be very comfortable at home. It costs you no money, and you can get a nice introduction to poker and get some teaching.
Is the free online tournament limited to ladies only?
I do believe, yes. Okay. The online for ladies, it's limited to women only because
no
that's
problem.
The idea, is to get the women involved.
Sure.
I'm going to play, though, I think. I don't know why I wouldn't. It's on the 27th, which I believe is
why
Saturday.
Not? Yeah, play.
Is that right? Saturday the 27th, you guys? Help me out.
Yes, it is Saturday. Saturday the 25th. What time is it?
The answer is 7... I think it's 7 o'clock p.m. It's not on my sheet here.
Eastern,
7
Eastern,
o'clock.
Probably. Yep. Yeah, you can check it out. You guys can figure out the time. But, yeah, you can play. You might actually be involved in a tournament in the main event in Best Bet Jacks at that time.
Ooh.
Ooh.
So that's a fun thing, right? Like, can you play? So if somebody wanted to play this event and they were in your card room actually playing, are they allowed to play, like, on their phone on something like that? Do you allow that?
You are allowed to use your phone and be on your phone when you don't have cards in front of you. What you're doing on your phone is your business.
Ah, so it's irrelevant. If you're playing
Correct.
A poker tournament, if you have your computer there and you're playing an online poker tournament, like this type of like.
Yeah, we don't monitor
whatever,
what
you
do on your
them.
Phone or a computer, but we do, you know, out of respect for the other players in the game, you can't slow up the game or do anything you shouldn't be doing on your phone. So other than that, yeah.
It's good to know because I plan on being at that final table, so I just need to make sure I get all my ducks
make
in a row
sure you
prior
got it all
to
set
there.
Up.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you know, you plan for things, make sure I have the right devices and all that shenanigans.
The right chargers.
Yeah, no doubt.
All
the
right,
right
device
chargers.
Battery chargers, yeah.
Do you guys have chargers under the tables?
We have a couple tables with chargers only, and we should be putting in more soon.
And you guys have a charging station, right?
We do have a little charging station for cell phones. It actually works fairly good, to be honest with you, for the most part.
I use it sometimes.
Yeah, I use it myself sometimes when I'm walking around and my phone's dead. It's like an airport locker. You just go in and put a passcode and press the whatever, star key or something, and it locks your phone in there, plug it in, you know, go hang out, do something for 20 minutes, come back and pick it up.
And away you go.
It's free.
Free charging, free tournaments, free charging, free tournaments.
And then free entertainment.
Make the final table of the main event. So speaking of the main event, I know we're not quite into the promotion part of the show yet, but you guys had huge numbers again, we mentioned earlier in the show. So this past weekend was the opening weekend of the spring series. So 11 total events, including the main event. The main event is a $2,500 buy-in.
$2,500.
And what do you guys expect? I know there's no guarantee on this tournament, and this is kind of a little bit new in terms of poker coming back, because it always used to be the case that anytime you saw a tournament that had a buy-in over $1,000, and sometimes even less than that, but almost always, if it was over $1,000, there was a guaranteed prize pool, right? And that's kind of gone away. But if you would have had a guarantee on this event traditionally prior to the pandemic, what would that guarantee have looked like?
Well, if we would have put a guarantee on this tournament, it probably would have been, a $500,000.
Yeah, I was
going to
say 500,000,
like
right? But what do you expect to get?
I will say this. We will get over $1 million in the prize pool.
I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah, it will go over $1 million. I wouldn't say I guarantee it because somebody's going to hold me to that.
Well, you can't say you guarantee it or it would be a guarantee.
But I'll tell you
what. You would take odds, though. You could give them odds.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, if anybody wants to,
wants
a little
wager.
Action.
Yeah, he would take the odds.
I'll take all the action.
The boss man's got the over-under line set at $1 million. Yeah. So
and I'll take
the over or the under.
All the action that it's going over.
All the action that's going over.
Yeah, first place will be over 200,000 and the prize pool will be over $1 million.
How many players does that equate to?
It's 400 and change, over 450, something like that, over like 460 maybe. I think we're going to get 500 players.
I think that's remarkable.
We got 510 players in the Winter Open at 2,000.
Almost hit it. Just shy.
Just shy of $1 million. Yeah, we were just shy of $1 million.
We have like 985.
918 is 918. Actually what it was.
This was the one in January or February?
The one in January, yeah. We were $82,000 short of $1 million.
Wow.
This time.
But that buy-in was only 2,000, right?
It was 2,000.
Exactly.
Sure.
The same amount of players, and we smash $1 million.
That's right. So I really think we go over $1 million.
I think it's going to be great. I'm really looking forward to it.
I'm very excited to see that last number come
in. Yeah, absolutely.
Now.
And I know we got a lot of other promotions to talk about. We're going to do that. But before we take a quick break, let's go ahead and find a winner right now for that 1010XL main event seat. Remember, the 1010XL tournament is April 7th. It's $110 to get in. There are 5 bounties. Knock any of them out. You get $110 back on the spot. 641-1010 is the phone number. 641-1010. And we will take the 4th caller right now. While RJ's doing that, we're going to take a quick break. But when we come back, we'll put a wrap on the show and talk all things promotions. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDeal here with Jesse the Boss, Dustin the Great, wrapping up the program. All right. So lots of things going on. We've been talking about the spring series. So there's this huge tournament series that's going on. In fact, tonight, starting here in about 6 minutes at Best Bet Jacksonville, there is a satellite, 560 or 580, boss?
380.
Oh, excuse me, 380. There's a $380 satellite tonight that will get you into the main event,
correct,
which is a $2,500 buy-in, and that the main event starts next weekend. So
no, it starts Friday.
Gosh, what day is it?
I know,
you
where
guys,
did this week go?
Like, we are
it's coming right up.
This. It's unbelievable. It's literally this week, yes. So the main event is on Friday. So there's a satellite tonight. There's a satellite tomorrow. I believe big satellite tomorrow, right? 10 seats?
Yeah, tonight there's a satellite. Tomorrow it's the same satellite, but we got a 10-seat guarantee on it. And then there are also 2 satellites on Friday, 1 at 3 and 1 at 7. And those will all be big because we're right here in front of the main event. So they'll give away lots of seats on all of them. So play anyone you can get to.
And the structure is perfect. So if you are not at the card room right now, maybe you're listening in your car, you're at home, and you're thinking about playing the satellite like I am, I'm heading to Best Bet the minute I walk out the door, and I'm going to go play the satellite. So if you're looking to do that, registration is open through the first, six levels?
Six and a break.
Six and a break. All right. So the first six levels, the levels are 20 minutes.
For the set, the 380?
Yes.
20-minute levels.
I'll tell you 20-minute
levels.
For
the, yep, 20-minute levels, so that gives you an hour and roughly...
Yeah,
so
20-minute levels, there's six levels and a break, and they're 20-minute levels.
So there you go.
An
so about,
hour...
About an hour and 15-ish.
Two hours.
2 hours and 15.
Yeah.
Two hours and 15, excuse me.
2 hours and 15. 2 hours and 10 minutes.
So that means... 9:10. You have until 9:10 to get there and be able to register and play in the satellite.
And you got about 10 minutes left if you want to play the ladies event tonight.
Yes, and speaking of the ladies event, I know you guys, we talked about already getting some champagne and some chocolate-covered strawberries for the ladies, but the stream tonight will commence immediately after the show, and it will be featuring the ladies' tournament. So you will be seeing the live stream with nothing but beautiful women playing spectacular poker, slipping on their champagne, and eating strawberries, chocolate-covered strawberries. So that's a great event. It's a lot of fun, and the ladies always bring tons and tons of energy. There will be commentating as well, and we have another 1010XL main event seat that we are going to give away on the stream tonight. So that means you're going to want to tune into either Facebook Live or Twitch. You can just go to Facebook and plug in Best Bet. When you get there, you'll find Best Bet Live site, and you can watch it, stream it there, and hope to win that 1010XL main event seat. That's going to do it for us tonight, you guys.
That's it.
Fast show, that's it. All right, for Jesse the Boss, Dustin the Great, RJ, appreciate your assistance. I'm Allie McDeal saying, until next time, we hope to see you at the final table.